Welcome to the Broadcast Dialogue Podcast, the show all about the media industry in Canada.
Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith. For more than 80 years, Dielectric has earned the reputation for providing the most sophisticated antenna signal transmission solutions. Tech advancements recently and analytics are changing the way RF systems are monitored, even predicting fatigue points in the system, potentially costly problems which can be addressed before they become catastrophic from a cost-to-replace perspective. Keith Pelletier is president of Dielectric, and he's here to provide an update on how they're doing it. Keith, welcome back to the podcast.
Absolutely, Sean. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be on today.
It's great having you. Look, NAB season 2024 is here, and it's a very exciting time for broadcasters and vendors to the industry as well. And technology, more than at any other time in the history of broadcasting, is bringing lots of future-leaning opportunities for everybody. And Dielectric has been at the forefront of this evolution. There's a bunch of stuff I want to get to with you in this podcast, but let's start with IP. Now, RF remains something of a self-contained island that is now more reachable through IP connectivity. How has this changed the way engineers keep an eye on their RF systems?
Sure. So traditionally, I think a lot of the monitoring of these systems were based on ratings and, the broadcasters knew how well they were doing in a market. And traditionally, the broadcast side of things, how they typically looked over the health of their system is they'd have a field service engineer come in, you know, once a year, take a snapshot in time at a certain temperature and get some readings on, you know, how things were looking at the site. And traditionally what they would do, in best cases, they would look at this every year and year over year, look at, you know, how things are changing or degrading, if you will. Having an IP infrastructure and a few other components that Dielectric has introduced to the marketplace, specifically the RF Hawkeye, which monitors the site 24/7 and collects a bunch of analytic data, we are able to download that data and make some decisions on, you know, what's happening. Where it's very unique is having that data, you know, every second at every point in that RF chain, you're able to look at things. And, you know, some of the times as an engineer, you're looking at cycles. So temperature cycles, you know, nights are much cooler than the days. And you're able to see as that transmission line expands and contracts, you're able to see changes in the system that we've never been able to before. So in some cases, as you watch that day over day, you're making decisions that, hey, that's the typical changes within your system and it's normal. But you're also able to say, hey, let me look at the 300-foot level. Something looks like it's changing. You can plot that data over time and make decisions on, okay, maybe that's not a temperature-related thing. Something else is going there. And you can make very good decisions on, once you have your tower crew there, hey, look, you know, based on the IP that we're collecting or the analytics that we're collecting at that site, Dielectric says we should go focus at 300 feet. It's changed the whole infrastructure of how we can look at things with some new product designs and able to really look at the health of that system. And the key thing that we really look at is traditionally, if something were to burn up, say, again, let's just keep it at the 300-foot level, the transmitter doesn't see those small types of changes that we can today. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, that system is going to burn up. It's going to create a mess within the system. So not only do you have to fix the issue at the 300-foot level, but now your system's contaminated. So there's a bunch of cleaning. There's a lot of spare parts to purchase. There's the, you know, the invoices that the customer has to pay based on the parts and the labor on with the tower crew. And a lot of the stuff today, you're able to eliminate that by being able to watch this system, you know, on a second-by-second basis.
So we're looking at all the moving parts and what's happening instead of on a quarterly or a yearly basis. We're looking at it almost minute to minute during those times that impact the system in certain ways. What are the hot points that broadcast engineers need to sort of keep an eye on at this point? What are you seeing as common problems in the chain?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So some of the things that it really monitors well is the transmission line system. So every discontinuity and every flange in the system is seen by a time domain sweep that's continuously taking data on that. So it's also taking your system VSWR. That's basically tells you how well the system can operate with the transmitter going into it. You know, the lower the VSWR, the more signal that's going out. So with that VSWR data, you're also able to tell if your transmission line's not moving, you can conclude that your antenna is changing and something's going on there. So really what you're looking at is, you know, post your RF system, you're able to look at your transmission line and antenna in very fine detail. And to answer your question about some of the things that we're able to find that traditionally we would not be, we've had some loose flanges. So typically a reflection in the transmission line is better than 40 dB. So if that system's changing to, you know, 39.5 dB, if a guy's coming in once a year, he's not going to see that change on his analyzer and or maybe make a conclusion that something's changing because it's so very small. Mm-hmm. But the analytic data is able to say, okay, look, you plot that over time and you're starting to see that it's getting worse. It's very, very minute, but you're able to make conclusions that something's going on. So we found loose flanges. A lot of times there's man-made fine matchers on the site or even manufactured by the manufacturers. We found that in places of those, in some cases, the probe that's making the VSWR better has loosened up and it's just bouncing around ever so slightly. And tower crews have been able to go look and sure enough, they've been able to tighten up the system and that small reflection goes away and stabilizes. Other things that we have found with the analytic data in RF Hawkeye system in general is sometimes the systems will generate small leaks. And again, you're looking at such a small change in the system that, you know, a traditional field sweep may not catch it, but the RF Hawkeye does, and you're able to dispatch the tower crew right to where the leak is versus them going to basically snoop the whole system until they find it from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So again, it saves a lot of time once the rigging crew is dispatched. And then the other thing that we have found is, you know, most of the manufacturer's transmission line have a watch band spring component to it where the connector rides based on temperature. So the copper is going to contract and grow in that system. That component is designed to move as the temperatures change and or the RF power levels change, which are driving the internal temperatures up. And they have a specific shelf life. So you're able to look at that, watch it over time. And as you start to see the VSWR rise and you've got 25, 30-year-old line, you're starting to see those components need some repair and replacement. So again, you're seeing that long before any catastrophic failures and costly failures. So you're able to make decisions wisely and make changes to your system with this data. It's actually quite remarkable.
In a word or in a sentence, I think what we're trying to do is make sure that the maintenance budget doesn't become a major capital expenditure. I mean, this is the ROI for management and leadership. The other thing I wanted to mention is that Hawkeye is just a great name, the perfect name for this. So that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to take credit for that, but I think it was the team here that developed that and thought that would be a great name. And certainly I'm in agreement with you that it was definitely a good choice.
Now, analytics, you've touched on this. Analytics is something that all engineers should be involved with. You know, we have all of these analytics now, which can be measured, but there's more to it. There's modeling. Can you take us through the ways in which we can use analytics to model out outcomes?
Yeah, certainly. So I think you hit it right on the head. You know, obviously, there's a lot of analytics with our RF Hawkeye program, but there's a lot of other services and things that we're starting to look at data that's right at our forefront. So, you know, when we went through the television repack here in the U.S. about, I guess it started about 6 years ago now, mm-hmm. we knew that we had to produce about 1,500 antennas in 2.5 years, which is no small feat. We also went through the DTV repack in the early 2000s. We built flow antennas, about 800 of them in a few years for Qualcomm at the time. So we've had other history points where there was a lot of data to look at where our pinch points were and start looking at the analytics and determining, you know, how can we improve to make sure that the broadcaster's needs are met. And, you know, there was a lot of examples that we did within software, for instance. Previously, all of our models were done on the manufacturing floor. It took up a lot of space. It had a lot more resources. It tied up the machine shop to be able to get designs to engineering and then out to the shop floor. What we were able to do is take a look at that data, look at what the longest lead times were, and start to develop artificial intelligence models and develop it all within software. So what that did was take a lot of time out of our process and freed up a lot of manufacturing space that we were going to need to actually build these antennas. Another example, prime example, is, you know, FM pattern studies were done on quarter scale range here at Dielectric. It was done by a technician setting up the models, going through multiple iterations to get the customer requirements and meet the FCC guidelines. We were able to petition the FCC, which eventually they changed the ruling and enabled us to do this all in software. So again, we were able to take our data, our analytics, put it into software and let the computer do all the hard work. And we even took that to a next step further, which John Shaler will be doing an FM paper where we did all of the azimuth patterns within our software package. We took it the next step and we went out and flew a drone to validate those patterns to show that how close, you know, our computer program is to be able to produce accurate patterns. The customers could rest at ease that, you know, they were getting what we put on paper. So there's a lot of things that we do from a day-to-day basis that involve analytics, artificial intelligence. And I think, you know, the bottom line is that Dielectric is going to continue to be at the forefront. And, you know, if we talk, you know, 5 years from now, there's going to be a lot of other things that we have done and changed within our system that's going to benefit the broadcasters for many decades to come.
Can you give me an update on Dielectric's Apollo analytics platform that you brought out last year? And what do the engineers need to know about that right now?
Yeah, so the Apollo program was introduced, as you said, at last year's NAB. We are currently reviewing and analyzing the data from over 100 sites in the field. And I think it kind of echoes what we said earlier on is, you know, taking that preventative step and being able to analyze that data and working with Dielectric on, you know, next steps and what they should be doing at these sites and not having that huge unplanned expense when something goes wrong at the site. Those are the types of things that, you know, we can showcase, you know, what we've caught, how we've managed these types of situations in the field, and how little it's cost the customer to be in the Apollo program and having Dielectric overseeing some of the site details that they have, you know, throughout their networks in the U.S.
What are the biggest benefits of this analytics-based managed service that you're providing for the local engineer?
So I think that's a great question. You know, so I think one of the biggest benefits and the reason to jump into this service program is they can see the data that's collected at that site, but we have the team in place here at Dielectric to be able to really dig into it and know when there is a problem based on lessons learned, know when, you know, maybe it's normal fluctuations that, like I said earlier, based on temperature changes at the site, cycling from day to night, and just being able to have that resource at hand that the engineers on site, where they're so busy, concentrated on other IP related items and transmitters and, you know, non-RF components even, that rest assured that our team here is looking at the site and is making very educated decisions based on the analytics to help them, you know, maintain a healthy site year over year.
And I think that's an incredible differentiator for Dielectric, is that you were really leveraging all of this on a very wide level for your specific clients. I think it's tremendous.
Yeah, I think that's very well said too, Sean. I think at the end of the day, you know, where we're monitoring so many of these, you know, there might be a group that, you know, we're measuring 10 systems, and they're gaining some knowledge based on what they're seeing from those sites and talking with us. But having so many more sites in our oversight, you're able to clearly have more experiences that's going to help the individual chief engineer at his site that, you know, he may not see, but we certainly do based on monitoring, you know, well over 100 sites.
Keith, I really appreciate your time today. I wish you a great NAB season.
Sean, I really appreciate it and always enjoy doing your podcast. So thanks for having me on, and look forward to seeing you at NAB as well.
Keith Pelletier is president of Dielectric. He joined us from Raymond, Maine. For more information, visit dielectric.com. I'm Sean Smith.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.